to Pakistan now, where the worst flooding in 80 years in that country is giving a sense that on many fronts, the situation is really unraveling. Joining us now is Lise Doucette, BBC correspondent in Islamabad. Good morning, Lise.
Good morning, John.
I gather the worst news is the weather this morning in Pakistan. What's going on?
Well, actually, I'm soaked a bit too, John. I got caught in the monsoon downpour. And if I'm feeling uncomfortable in Islamabad, you can imagine what the millions of people feel who we've been seeing across northwest Pakistan. They've been walking for days in the what have been oceans of water created by these worst monsoon floods in as long as anyone can remember. We've seen them in their tented encampments all along the motorside, trying to have some shelter from the rain and the blazing sun with bits of tarpaulin and wooden sticks, or they've been in these relief camps that are being set up. Conditions are absolutely miserable and insanitary, and these rains are just going to make things even worse.
And they're expected to continue for several more days and possibly even beyond that. What we're seeing here in the reports that we've been talking about for the last several days is really a wave of instability that starts in the northwest that's produced, or maybe not produced, maybe there's no causality there, but you've got the situation down in Karachi. Any sense that political forces are taking advantage of this instability?
Well, let's say it's a day in the life in Pakistan, just when the floods is a major story worldwide. It's some days it's not even the top story in Pakistan. There was a political murder of a prominent member of the provincial parliament that led to dozens of people being killed. People are still being killed in the southern provincial capital of Karachi. We've just had a suicide bombing right in the heart of Peshawar. That's in the northwest, which is the worst affected area in this floods. A senior Pakistani security officer had been killed. That's the kind of security problems that Pakistan deals with day in, day out. And these monsoon floods are obviously just aggravating a very difficult political situation. And don't forget, this is a country which is reeling from economic woes and electricity shortages at the best of times. Now you've got large parts of the country with no electricity at all, with no telephone lines, and where roads don't exist. If you talk about sort of more, let's say, a traditional politics, the kind you may know in the United States, where political rivals try to take advantage of the situation. Natural disasters, of course, are times when political leaders don't just want to do things, but to be seen to be doing them. And on Pakistan's 24-hour Urdu language stations, we've been seeing provincial chief ministers and governors visiting the sites. We've been seeing the army chief of staff visiting the flood victims. The person who's missing is the Pakistani president, Asif Ali Zardari. He's staying in a five-star hotel in London on a visit there.
That really says it all right there. You know, there's always in the backdrop of political stability in Pakistan the possibility that the military would take matters into their own hands here. Any talk of that? And is the U.S. having any impact in its military attempt to bring relief to the northwest?
Pakistan military is in the position where it has always been. It is the dominant dominant institution in this country. Every time there is a natural disaster, they're the ones who are taking the lead. So they're deploying dozens of helicopters and hundreds of boats. They say they're clearly staying in the barracks. They're not going to try to take political power, even though they have done that for nearly half of Pakistan's history. But there is a civilian leadership, president and a prime minister, and a parliament, and that's not going to change anytime soon. As for relations with the United States, I've spoken to the American embassy here. They're trying to do all they can. We remember in the aftermath of the devastating earthquake in Kashmir in 2005, the American military played the leading role in the rescue efforts. They sent over helicopters and other logistical support from neighboring Afghanistan, and support for the United States actually went up in a country where anti-American sentiment usually runs very high.
A rain-soaked Lise Doucette from our partner, the BBC, talking about the situation in Pakistan. Lise, you're describing a situation where people in the Northwest are really feeling like they're going it alone. Listen to this voice interviewed by one of your colleagues.
When the water came into the house, we went out with the children. People helped us to carry them, but then the water was up to our necks and we managed to swim out. We didn't care about our lives, we just wanted to save the children.
How much of the picture of this devastation hasn't even been seen yet? I'm thinking of the ravaged villages that no one has managed even to visit.
You know, John, I spoke to an aid official yesterday from a British charity, and they had just managed to get through to some of their relief teams on the ground in the Swat Valley, which is one of the worst affected areas. And he said, almost, catching his breath, he said, you know, what we have seen is goes far beyond what you already know now about the flood situation. The whole geography of the place has been changed. And that's the really chilling thing about this. And it's when you stand in the midst of an ocean of contaminated water with displaced people all around you, and someone from the Red Crescent says to you, as has happened to me, and he says, you know, I'm just wondering whether this is going to be even more devastating than the Kashmir earthquake, which was catastrophic for Pakistan. We're not talking about the same number of dead. There was some 80,000 who died in the Kashmir earthquake. But the extent of the damage to infrastructure is so vast. In the Swat Valley, there's not a single bridge left. That's 50 bridges.
Wow.
50
Jeez.
Years of infrastructure has been washed away.
And what's the percentage of rural to urban in that part of the country?
Well, let's look at where the situation is now, some of the real dangers. The mighty Indus River is now making its way, swollen with floodwaters, through the breadbasket of Pakistan, the most populous province, the Punjab. And it's breaking its banks at regular intervals. The areas are being evacuated, people are fleeing, but vast swathes of valuable farmland are being destroyed. We saw that as well in the northwest frontier. It's happening in Balochistan, and it's going to happen in Sindh. It's one of those times where you really wish the weather forecasters were wrong. But when the rain started coming down today, we looked at each other and we said, they're right.
Finally, what's the likely impact later on this year on the food supply in Punjab and other places in Pakistan? And any word on the condition of that dam we heard yesterday was threatened?
Well, yes, indeed. The Warsak Dam in Peshawar, there was a concern that if that broke, that millions of people would be washed away. And that has already set up a panic. There's also risk to the other dams further south. There's a great irony here in Pakistan. Before this flood story happened, there was all the talk of the water wars with India. So either they don't have enough water or they have too much water. So there's a long-term issue here of water management. Meanwhile, we've been speaking to the World Food Programme. They already have a major program of emergency aid because, don't forget, last year, millions of people were displaced from the tribal areas when the Pakistan army took on the Taliban militants. These people were living in refugee camps, and now they've been hit again. They're back to the refugee camps because they've been washed away by floods.
Wars, floods, Pakistan, a day in the life. Lise Doucette gives us a really gripping portrait of what's going on. The worst flooding in 80 years in Pakistan. Lise, thanks so much.
Thank you.